So welcome back. We're going to dive right into all the data that we've seen this week, what's happened. We literally just minutes ago watched the PPI, the Producers Price Index, be released by the Bureau of Statistics of the U.S. It rose month on month. I think it was 0.3%.
Yeah, that's correct.
And on an annualized basis, it was about 1%, 0.9% up. Maybe you could give the viewers just a little bit of understanding of what the PPI is used for.
Yeah, I mean, first, it gets along with the CPI numbers, which we will discuss in the US, and the producer price index really gives you a focus or a perspective on the producers, on the manufacturing companies, of how their input costs increases of raw materials, of work, and so on. So it is used as a predictor of the CPI, of the consumer price index, which will come into the economies, because these prices, if the input prices increase, then usually what the producer will, or the manufacturer will try to do, is to hand on these prices to the end consumer.
Yeah, so when we see all the prediction of inflation, not prediction, but the forecast of inflation, and you wonder where are they getting this forecast from, the PPI is a big source of that for those listeners that are trying to understand where do they come up with these forecasts.
Yes.
So on that topic, we're going to get into, as you mentioned, the CPI numbers of the US, but also there were the inflation numbers coming out in Switzerland this week as well, which we saw
surprising
to the positive side of coming down from 1.7% on a monthly basis to 1.3%. So going in the right direction.
On a yearly basis.
Correct.
Yeah.
And core inflation was also down in Switzerland from 1.5% on a yearly basis to 1.3%. So well within that range of what the SNB or the Swiss National Bank is looking for in terms of price stability.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention that the view the Swiss National Bank has is they don't have a target inflation rate of 2%, but they have an inflation range between 0% up to 2%. And so it is perfectly fine that it moves between these levels. But it is also interesting that the expectations from the central banks are, okay, these are encouraging numbers, but we shouldn't become too excited about it, because there are more effects that might come into play. So for example, in April this year, there will be more price increases expected on housing, for example, like on rent prices. And so they wait until these figures are out, until they make or come to a conclusion how to react to that.
Yeah, and I think it's a valuable insight into how the SNB or the Swiss National Bank functions and how they approach price stability when it comes to looking at inflation and their mechanisms of control and in helping or aiding that.
Correct.
Also, we saw the consumer sentiment report come out for Switzerland. Yeah. It was its third month, I believe, in an uptick. Yeah. So it's been ticking up for the past 3 months with some, you know, sentiment decreasing throughout 2023. However, at the end, it's continued to pick up. I think part of that is the fact that we've had some positive news coming out on the inflation front. Yeah. However, as you mentioned, we're still waiting for these price increases potentially coming in April. So that's quite interesting, I guess, to see kind of in line with what we talked about in the US, how the sentiment's going up as things seem to be coming down.
Yeah, but I think it is important to give enough recognition to this consumer price sentiment, because the way how people react eventually will define how an economy is doing. And as long as the people are like rather cautious towards the future on how they spend money, or whether they spend it all, or whether they prefer to save their money, that will have a huge impact. And I think it is a good sign that it is increasing, but people in Switzerland are still like holding back a little bit, or like, okay, we should maybe make sure that we have enough savings, not take on further debt at that moment. And so I think it is a good environment, a good development that is going on. And I'm quite positive that it will further improve over the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's the Swiss economy is looking quite robust. I mean, being inside of that that inflation range for quite some time while other countries are still really struggling to get there. I mean, as rolling into the CPI or the consumer price index of the US, you know, we saw another uptick there. And that certainly was a surprise on the other side. And
well, it was an uptick on the month-over-month basis, but a year-over-year basis, it was still a decrease. But the expectations were just too optimistic. And I think that is something we criticized for quite some time already, that investors or experts are way too optimistic about the economy in the US. I mean, the US is a great economy. The US, I mean, the people there, they are great, and there is a lot of innovation going on, but it's just overly optimistic at the moment. And I mean, the CPI numbers were like 3.1% up, the expectations were 2.9%. And we have talked about like the different shades of CPI, like, or in the past, where you have CPI like as a headline inflation, and then you have core CPI, which is like excluding energy and food, which was higher than the 3.1%. It was 3.9%. Yeah. And then you have another figure, which is something the Fed is focusing on. It's called the supercore CPI. And maybe you can explain what this is.
Yeah, so supercore is quite an interesting picture of what the, I guess, what the Fed looks at in figuring out what they're going to do with their interest rate. It looks at the everything excluding the housing, essentially. So it's, you take the core CPI, and then you exclude the housing costs.
Yeah.
And that's what the super core is. And they saw an uptick in that to about, I think, 4.4 percent. Which,
so it's headline inflation.
Headline inflation.
Overall. Minus food, minus energy.
Energy, minus housing. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the interesting thing there to see it at 4.4% on an annualized basis is, I think it was between 2009 and 2019 or something like that, when inflation was essentially zero in the US. Overall, it was at like 2.8% or something like that, about 2.5.
I thought 2.3, but
could have been. And so it's something that the Fed really looks at closely, and it's at a higher level than it's been for quite some time. And that certainly we've talked about the Fed pushing off interest rate decisions even past May. And I think that's another sign that they probably will have to, if that's picking up and accelerating.
Yeah, maybe to make it even easier, what supercore CPI is basically is what is the increase in wages. Because if you if you take headline inflation and take everything away, which is like manufacturing and whatsoever, then what eventually will stay is salary.
Yeah.
And so as long as there is an upward trend in salary, eventually it will be handed over to the end clients, because it, I mean, someone has to pay for that. So this is one thing. And the other thing is that companies go into competition with each other, so they have to increase prices or salaries, and then instead of hiring that many people as they did in the past, cutting on salary costs. I mean, that is something we mentioned last week already, and in the meantime there were more companies coming in, for example Cisco, who said or mentioned that they will decrease the workforce.
Yeah, and I think that leads us into an interesting, I guess, topic of what we're looking at also this week, is we saw, and maybe some of the listeners have seen the headlines of Japan hitting a technical recession, which was, again, a surprise. Everyone was expecting Japan to have growth in the fourth quarter, but they had a second consecutive quarter of decline, as well as the UK, where it was significantly less, but you now have two technical recessions.
I mean, there are already three. I mean, we talked about Germany
as well. And you know, the big, I think that's what's interesting, is the big news is, oh, Japan lost their spot as the world's third largest economy to number four, and Germany ticked up. But number three and number four are struggling economies at the moment. And so, you know, I think that speaks to a little bit of the challenges of the cracks in the global system, and how the U.S. has now been, many people have been talking about a soft landing for, gosh, almost 2 years now. That the U.S., if a recession comes, will have a soft landing. It'll be light, or now looks like a soft landing. But just today or yesterday, Andrew Hollenhorst, the chief economist from Citibank came out and said, look, it does not look like we're going to have a soft landing, which is quite an interesting turn in the discussion. Something we've been talking about. I mean, we talked.
Finally.
I mean,
that is something we are claiming for quite some time, that like the odds of having a soft landing have decreased significantly. And if you dig deeper into the numbers, you start to figure out, okay, there is something that doesn't add up. There is something that doesn't add up. And I'm expecting that there are like, or there is one economy after the other coming out at some times over the next months and years saying, okay, we have been in a recession. Yeah. And if everything becomes more expensive, even so if inflation declines, as long as inflation is positive, I mean, you will pay more for your food, for your goods, whatever you're consuming. And so at some point, if the salary or the wage increase it doesn't hold up, that becomes a problem.
Yeah, and so I think with that, I think we covered this week. I think next week we're going to be looking at some interesting things coming out of Switzerland in terms of their trade balance. And what else were we going to be looking at?
CPI numbers in the euro area.
Correct, yeah.
The trade balance is interesting because of the strength of the Swiss franc recently, especially the last 2 months in 2023.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to also see the inflation numbers in the euro area to signal maybe what the ECB is planning on, or the European Central Bank, and how the economies are faring outside of their major economies in Germany, and just to see kind of what the picture is there.
Yeah.
Cool. Look forward to it next week.
Likewise.